Okay. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. How was everyone's week? Good? Someone tell me something funny that happened to them this week. Just let me break the ice, because I just need to start like that. Something interesting that happened. They opened a FreshCo in Barrhaven. I'm just joking. Anyways. It's a grocery store. I love grocery stores. Okay, so as you guys know, we are going to talk about spiritual currency today. It's something that a lot of us don't really think about when you really, in passing or whatever, but when you really kind of take the time and go into it, it's a little bit more, there's more to it than what you might think. So the value of money in Christianity is something that is a little bit of like a gray area. So everyone has their own type of idea of what's right, what's wrong, and you know, their perception of money and how it should be handled and a Christian's perspective on it. But I want to go a little bit deeper with you guys, so bear with me. So when I think of money, I think of the Apprentice theme song, money, 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 right? And I thought about it for a second. I was like, okay, this theme song is really famous, and you hear it all the time. And if Donald Trump's face wasn't plastered everywhere, we were watching him long before on The Apprentice, you know? So the lyrics to this song are actually pretty sad. And it's associated with, like, this upbeat show, and it's exciting, and it's sexy, and it's entertaining. But just read the lyrics. Listen to me, y'all. Do things. Do bad things with it. You want to do things, talk about cash, blah, 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 blah. People will steal from their mother for the love of money. People will rob their own brother for the love of money. This is stuff that we're singing in mainstream media. We're totally fine with it. Like, the music that we listen to, and it's there. Money rules all. Cash is king. We all know this. So, can someone give me an example of when there was a situation with money in the Bible? Like, what comes to the top of your head with that? To me, okay, you guys, not all at once. Oh my God. So I think, oh, Mariam. Tax collectors, okay, very good. I was thinking more along the lines of the talents, the parable of the talents. You guys know that one? We're going to cover it in a little bit, but I wanted to just kind of say really briefly that when I think of talent and I think of our idea of money or talents or all that kind of stuff, it's summed up into God gives it to us and we use it. So who's seen this movie, A Bronx Tale? Who's seen it? Okay, you must be over 30, I guess, if you've seen this movie. That's okay. This is like a classic movie. If you haven't seen it, you should see it. The theme of this movie is the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. So there's a couple of things that I wanted to just kind of outline in our thing, but I think I'm going to just move forward. So the whole point of what I was saying is in our lives, money, currency, talents, in the Bible, God can talk about it as talents. The old word for money is mammon, any kind of commodity. So we view it as, we relate the word currency to money and only money. And this is for the most of us. Currency is defined as a medium of exchange or a transmission of goods for services or from person to person. So money is a medium of exchange and circulation. It's quantifiable. It's not just a simple word. You have it or you don't. So the problem is there never seems to be enough of it. So in and of itself, money is complex, it's intricate, and it becomes a symbol of energy and freedom. It's how far you can go, what you can do with money. So I thought this was really funny. I came across this when I was doing my research for this. How many of you guys have read this story or heard of it? The guy that wanted to be buried with his money because he thought he was going to bribe God when he went to heaven. You guys never... I just spend too much time on the internet? Okay, that's cool. So this is like a real thing that happened in 2017. I actually looked it up. It's a real thing. He thought that he could be buried with his money And when he died, he'd go to heaven, and God would be like, yeah, oh my gosh, no problem. You give me that money, and we'll be good. Like, it's difficult for us to reconcile it in our mind that there's life beyond, you know, what I can buy or what I can do with my money. So I wanted to really have an open discussion with you guys today. I wanted us to really kind of get it all out there, because I came across questions when I was doing this, and I'm doing research for it, and I wanted us to talk about it out loud. So how many of you guys think God wants you to be rich? Mariam, okay. Anyone else? Sandra, okay. Mariam? Anyone else? So how, oh, Melissa is kind of like on the fence. He kind of wants me to be rich on weekends maybe, like, you know, go somewhere. How many of you guys think God wants you to be poor? Martel? Worldly, yeah. Does God want you to have a boat? No. We'll get into that. So you guys are kind of like 50-50. God either wants you to be rich or poor. Is there any medium? Like, bless you, yeah. Medium, maybe like kind of like go away on weekends maybe, but come back to your normal life. Okay, so let me ask you something else. What does money mean to you? What are some of your financial goals? Come on, guys, let's go. I know it's Friday. Like, come on. Melissa. To be stable. Okay. That's a good financial goal. What else? Mariam. Not be in debt. Okay. Come on, I want to hear, like, your financial goals. Don't tell me no one thinks about what they would do with their earnings or if they won money or if they won a lot. Like, what are your financial goals? Seriously, this is a safe place. We can talk about this. It's okay. You want to be a billionaire? I'm serious, guys. What are some of the things that you think you can do for yourself or your family with money? Buy my mama a house. Mina? Say that again. Okay, very good. So now we're getting somewhere. Why do you associate money with influence? Power? And why? What power do you get out of money? Why does money give us power? Possessions? You own stuff. So once you become an owner of something, that makes you powerful. I own this iPad. Does that make me powerful? Worth, value. Okay. What has worth? What has value? What are things that have actual value for us? A car. A house. What can build equity? Guys, who's in finance here? Mina, finance. Anyone else in finance? What did you say? Oh my gosh, I always do that. I always call you Mina. What's wrong with me? Oh my gosh. Okay, so let me ask you something else. Where did the concept of money come from? Does anyone know? Nardine? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's goods for services, goods for a certain thing or a commodity. That's why when I did our first slide there, I said commodity. So it's not just money. Martel? He's in my brain. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. We put the value on money. We put the value because it's possibility. It's what we could do. It's potential. That's what makes it so valuable. That potential that I could go out there and I could buy a $1,000 dress, or I could go out there and I can buy a Mercedes or whatever. Like, You know what I mean? It's the potential that I could do that. Does getting this stat, this briefcase of money, what is that? Like, it's nothing. It's paper. It's paper that's printed at the Royal Canadian Mint. That's all it is, right? If I light a match to it, it's gone. There's nothing. It's worth nothing. It's what we can accomplish with it. It's the things we can do, the people we can reach, the influence we can have. Who said influence? I think it was Mina said that. Influence and power. That's what it is. So in terms of worldly money and riches and wealth, we kind of define that. What's spiritual richness? Oh my gosh, guys, you're killing me. Matthew.
It's not really my definition, but St. John Chrysostom says that the rich man is not the one who has many possessions, but the one who desires few, and the poor man is not the one who has few possessions, but the one who desires money.
That's a wonderful point. That's a very, very wonderful point, and something that we want to really shed some light on. So the richest man in the world can think he's the poorest man in the world because what he has is not enough for him. And then we have someone, we have the widow with her two coins. You know, people have a lot and they still want more. They have that greed, they have that hunger. And people who have less sometimes are satisfied. And it's not to say that people who have lots are always like that. Sometimes they do feel, you know, fulfilled and that's enough for them. But where do we kind of draw that line? So these questions are kind of surface questions. The next page of questions are really to go a little bit deeper. So these I really hope we can just kind of talk about together. So the first question, do I have to choose between worldly wealth and spiritual wealth? How many of you think it's a 50-50, I have to go black or white, I have to choose? Bless you. What do you think? You think you have to choose? Okay. Mario. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Sandra? What do you mean? Do you think, who thinks that's contingent? I have to do this to get to that. This is a stepping stone to that. Spiritual wealth will lead me to physical wealth. It'll lead me to worldly wealth. Who thinks that? It's okay, whether you think it or you don't think it, it's an opinion. Do we pray to God so that he will bless us? Do we pray to God that he blesses us, yes or no? Of course we do. We say, God, please bless us, take care of us, comfort us, be there for us. Guide us, bless us, give us all the blessings in the world. Thank you for what we have, but give us more. So in a sense, we do that, but where do you draw the line between like your personal success and greed and going too far? Mario. Okay. No, that's absolutely right. The second you feel like you're a slave to something or you're addicted to something, that's when you're kind of into that dangerous territory, right? Does society value those with money more than those without? I'm talking just society, not our church or anything like that. Typically, yes, right? And it all goes back to the power and influence and what money can do for you. So who, in that kind of world, who wouldn't want to be rich? Who wouldn't want to go out there and get as much money and accumulate as much wealth as possible? We're programmed to do that from birth. Because if you're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, you're not an engineer, you're failing. I'm just kidding. You're not failing. You're doing good. But it's that mentality that we have grown up to have. But our parents put that in us. Do you think they're concerned with how much money we'll bring in? What do you think those kinds of wishes for their children, what that really translates into. I think what our parents want for us is to be successful. So the point in which we're successful, we're happy in life, God is blessing us, that's all great. So when do we kind of deviate from that and become that and have that feeling of greed or have that feeling of it's not enough, I need more? Can we really pinpoint when that happens? Martel? Yeah, absolutely. It's a trap. Who agrees that that's a trap? Right? Yeah. I know you guys agree. That's cool. What about social media in our lives, like in our day-to-day lives? What role does that play in my quest for more wealth? So I guess I'll have to give my own personal, I guess, experiences. Or Melissa, how many followers you have? Sure, absolutely. It sounds silly when you say it out loud, but some, you know, it's important. It's a status thing. It's like a virtual currency, is it not? Blessy, were you going to say something? Videos on YouTube? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why do we idolize celebrities? They have these huge followings of people who literally follow them on social media platforms, and they endorse products, services, places, things, events, people, different types of things that they endorse and get behind. And because of their power and because of their influence, we follow along that. And that's kind of the way that our world is going. For the people that are over 25, I'm looking at you, Mina, like our world was not like this, you know, 5, 10 years ago. We didn't have social media and the influencers and Twitter and that kind of stuff. It all came as a like a rush, and it changed the way we socialize with people, and it changed the way a lot of us think as well. So my next question is, how important is money, my money situation, to God? Does God care about my finances? Mina? Sorry? Yeah, he cares about how much you give. Blessy and Mariam at the same time. Okay. Yeah. I can agree with that, absolutely. Martel? Yeah. Yeah, right? It's a tithe. It's supposed to be 10% or something like that. God's not going to stand there with a calculator and be like, oh, you're off by $717. No heaven for you. Like, I don't think that's how it's going to go, you know? But at the same time, that's exactly it. I mean, if we're at a certain level, we're expected, not expected, but we should expect of ourselves that we're giving back at least that much. But I'm talking more about, like, how we manage our money. Like, am I going out there and am I squandering my money on things that I probably don't need? Is that something that God would be happy for us, would want us to do? I'll tell you from the parable of the talents in Matthew that I went through for this talk tonight, I realized that, here, let's just read it and then we'll talk. So we're just going to read the red parts. I know it's a lot, but it's going to go by fast, I promise. Martel, can you read the first part? Can you read it? Can someone read the next paragraph? Mariam, in a nice loud voice. It's so small, eh? I'm so sorry. Thank you. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. This is yours. I didn't want to do anything with it. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. I thought, you know, whatever. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, you gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So what does that tell you about the way God wants us to view our talents or commodities or our riches or our mammon or our money? What does God want for us?
I think he wants us to be smarter with our money.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He totally does. God wants you to be smart and not squander your money and be careful with it, because money is a commodity. It's not something that you find lying around on the street. It's a tool that we can use, that God has given us. Commerce, business, is a tool. Selling, buying, all that stuff is a tool that God has given us so that we can do these things properly. There's another verse that I wanted to share with you guys, and it was in Matthew as well. And it said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money. So how do we kind of marry these two verses together? Because one is telling us, you should have gone to Wall Street and invested in this stock, and now I have no money. So you were dumb with the money. And now we're saying, you cannot serve God and money. What does that mean? Is that confusing for us a little bit? Yeah? Mariam, were you going to raise your hand? No? It's confusing, but it's very simple. We're not supposed to go out there and, you know, lie, cheat, steal to get whatever we can. We're supposed to use every tool that God gives us in moderation. That's really what it comes down to. So we talked about that. We said, how important is my money situation to God? What can we do with our riches? We all talked about it. We can give it back to the church. We have tax receipts with the church that we get money back in taxes, and you can give that money back to the church as well. So there's ways in for us to maximize how we provide to the church. So now that we've kind of reconciled what physical, worldly, material money is, spiritual currency is our faith. I promise we're almost done, guys. I'm so sorry. And these are the ways that we can display our spiritual currency. Spiritual currency is just another word for your faith. So it's the thanks we give God on a daily basis. This is the meat and potatoes. This is the most important. The people we help at work, at school, on the street, anywhere. The help we give, the time we give, the times we show compassion to those who might not necessarily deserve it. I can think of 10 people at my work that I can't stand and don't deserve my compassion, but I give it to them. I'm supposed to give it to them. Sometimes I don't, but I do. The times you resist temptation in the name of Jesus, that could be anything from resisting not Siami food during Siam to anything else. When we don't show judgment, when a friend comes to you and says, you know, I really messed up, I did X, Y, Z, it was really, really bad, and you're not judging that person. Judgment is so awful, and we tend to do it as Egyptians, and it's like almost in our blood, but that time where we resist that temptation to judge people, it's very difficult. But the times we're called to be patient and kind, I'm sure there's lots of times at home with your parents, with your siblings, at work, at school, with professors, taking forever to mark your papers. I've been there, I know. But those are the moments that we are allowed to spend that spiritual currency. And trust me, it's not like, it's not going to be a scoreboard when you get to heaven where God's going to be like, oh, 1996, you weren't patient. 2017, you were. It's accumulation of these moments that make you into the type of person who is worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Does that make sense? Oh, doesn't stop there. There's more. The times we rely on God to fix our messes. It's been a lot for me. I don't know about you guys. I've made a lot of messes in my life, and my biggest mistake is trying to clean it all up on my own. I don't need God's help. I can do this by myself. I got myself into this mess. I'll do it. I'm independent. That's wrong. That's a very wrong approach to take. It's spiritual currency for us to recognize that and know, I can't take care of this. I'm going to fully rely on God. The times we remember to glorify God's name in everything that we do, any good thing that happens to us is not our doing. It's 100,000% God's work in our lives, and allowing that good thing or bad thing to happen to us, and it all works in good for those who believe in Christ. And I totally just butchered the verse, but I was saying it off the top of my head, but you guys know what I'm trying to say. The times you reject the sins of the flesh and remain pure, it speaks for itself. Like resisting temptation, maintaining your purity, especially at, you know, our young age of 20 years old, like it's important to make sure that we're keeping ourselves pure for Christ. When we overcome temptation, when we pray for those who hurt us instead of trying to retaliate, that is a cyclical thing, and this can go from someone who cut you off in traffic, which happened to me today, or people who bomb our churches. I'm not trying to make that as a joke. I'm saying it's a huge scale of us praying for those who hurt us instead of retaliating. And that's what sets us apart as Christians. And that's a belief that I have, like, from deep inside my heart. And the last one, of course, spending all our time doing things to glorify God and build our church. Building our church, I can't stress it enough. You guys all have social media. You're aware of the things happening in the world. You know, this is the time in our lives where we're taking action and we're trying to do our best to get closer to the church and understand that we are all we have. Each other is all we have. So we need to band together and make sure that we're all moving ourselves forward and moving the church forward as a body of Christ. So my final thoughts, unless you guys have final thoughts as well, is we must remember that every single person on this earth was made in the image and likeness of God, and to hurt them in any way is to hurt our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. And do not become a slave to money. Do not let yourself lose control and forget who your true master is. I just thought that was a really cute picture, so I included it in. And that's it. That's all I have for you guys. Do you guys have any questions? No? Okay, let's pray.